Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crick, Rick, and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. But you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Free Association. It's Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And I'm in Newcastle upon Tyne, which means it's 3 o'clock my time. It's still 11 a.m. on the East Coast. I got the timing right. I missed, normally when there's a time zone, time shift issue, I'll lose track of everything that's going on. But this time round, I've managed to get to the right place at the right time. So that's a good start. I don't have a topic because my head has been all over the place. So I've got about 3 different things that I might do. I'm not sure about any of them as yet. But we were talking about circadian rhythms and time shifts in the chat room. So what I think I probably ought to do is invite people to come along to the chat room. So if you get as far as freedomslips.com, you'll find a link to the chat room at the top of the website. And it runs on a thing called Element, or Matrix is the actual thing it runs on, and Element is what I use to see the chat. So there's seven or eight people in the chat room active, which is a good sign. I tend to talk to people a little bit, but not all that much. But today it's probably going to be a talking to the chat room show as much as anything else, because I don't have any specific thing that I want to talk about. So just say hello to a few people. That's the way to do it initially, isn't it? Let's say hello to the people who are active at the moment is Judson Dye, Lady Horse, Mace 139, Fleeced, Net Effect. I think Mitchell was active earlier on, and Sari Sunflower was active earlier on as well. So I know those people are around somewhere down the line. Yeah, it is fall back. In the UK, we went backwards last weekend, which means that my music shows have been an hour earlier this week. I didn't make a couple of them, but I've done three shows this week. Well, I've done three shows on Revolution Radio and four shows on Podbean. So I had a technical issue getting onto the Hawk's Nest one night. I think that's sorted out now. Last night's show went pretty well, I thought, for me. So I think whatever technical thing was going on could have been my end, and I've tweaked something without knowing what I'm doing, and it's fixed it. So I think that's probably what's been going on. So the music show is at 10 p.m. my time, which is 5 p.m. Eastern time, just for an hour. Just a bit of fun. I've been playing a bit of Tales from Topographic Oceans. I found a piece of Prince live at the Montreux Jazz Festival last night, which I think is going to be forming a good part of the content for the next couple of shows. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, there's two shows of an hour and a half each from Montreux Jazz Festival in 2009. So I could potentially play 15 or 20 minutes every night next week and still not get through the show. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, there'll definitely be some Prince next week. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. And probably a little bit more Gentle Giant, probably some Close to the Edge or some Yes along the way somewhere. Concept albums, Tangerine Dream, Jazz Funk. I played a bit of Herbie Hancock last night as well. So it varies a little bit. Sometimes I play the Bee Gees. Sometimes I play the Temptations. There's a couple of Temptations tunes that I play fairly regularly. But it all varies depending on my mood. So I make no promises, but it's normally likely to be concept albums and old soul and old jazz funk. That tends to be the staple of it. Maybe a little bit of gong and Hawkwind thrown in for good measure. A little bit of space rock. I could do Montrose as well. Yeah, this is the Montreux Jazz Festival I was talking about, Mace. But Montrose is a good idea. Space Station number 5 would be a good idea to add in. I can do that. I never saw Montrose. I saw Sammy Hagar live a long, long time ago in the mid-80s at Newcastle City Hall when I was about, 16? I had a friend who was going up and down to gigs at the City Hall, and he kept inviting me to go, and he had spare tickets sometimes, so I saw quite a few people with him. I saw Sammy Hagar and the Scorpions I saw with him, with Sean. Somebody else as well. I can't remember who. I think there was at least one more gig that I went to, but I lose track of who I've seen at the City Hall and who I haven't. There was a lot of gigs at the City Hall, though. Maybe I can just talk about that for 20 minutes. That would work. So from where I grew up to Newcastle is about a 45 minute, maybe an hour ride in a car. So when you're 16, obviously I don't drive, I didn't drive when I was 16, and I don't drive now. So I always have to rely on lifts, which means that I can only get to things that other people are going to as well, unless they're within busing distance, public transport distance, or walking distance, or whatever. So I've always lived in cities. I lived when I moved out of the house when I was 18. I moved up to Newcastle to go to a university, and I spent most of my time while I was meant to be at university just going to see bands. Needless to say, that didn't really come out well at the end of it. So it was fun, and I was 18, 19 year old, so I didn't really care that much, quite honestly. Probably I should have put a bit more effort into the course that I was doing and a little bit less time into going to see bands, but I got pissed off with the course fairly rapidly and just kind of let it go. The final year, I just let it go completely. I wasn't interested in it. And that's just the way I was when I was, I would be 19, 20 at that point. So I was living in Newcastle, and there was a place at the time called the Riverside, which was a musicians collective. Now, I'm not a musician, but I do like my music. I do like my music. And there was a TV show at the time as well that was live from Newcastle on a Friday evening called The Tube. They used to bring in a lot of international acts to just get a 20-minute slot on this TV show. So I remember queuing up outside with a different friend called Sean and his girlfriend at the time to see Susie and the Banshees at this TV studio, Tint East TV, which was on City Road in Newcastle. At the time, it's not there now. They moved to an industrial estate about 5 miles out of town now, but they used to be in the centre of town. I think the building turned into student accommodation or something like that. But it used to be a hot spot for international musical talent on a Friday evening. So they've had people like Tina Turner, Dire Straits, Simple Minds, Tears for Fears, all sorts of people played in there at the time. Mostly UK, Duran Duran, mostly UK-based bands, but they used to occasionally bring in somebody from the States if they were already in the country or they were doing a European tour or whatever. They'd bring Bon Jovi and Alice Cooper and people like that. Used to turn up on the Tube fairly regularly. So I used to go down to the Riverside. The Riverside was not very far from where the Tube used to be on City Road, in a warehouse on Melbourne Street, which is now also student accommodation. And it used to be that the people who would turn up at the Riverside, as far as bands are concerned, would be like the German industrial metal bashing bands such as SPK, Test Department, Einstunder Neubauten. I went to see there as well. I went to see Test Department there. Cabaret Voltaire, which is a similar kind of British band with some fascist leanings. So I used to go to see obscure, like avant-garde metal, people banging bits of metal. Which is just, it's weird, but it's entertaining when you're 19. It's like, it's unusual. It's avant-garde is the way it's described, but there was a scene in Europe for that sort of stuff in the mid-80s. And I kind of enjoyed it. I don't listen to that stuff now, but I did enjoy it at the time. Maybe I'll play a little bit of Cabaret Voltaire on the music show as well. That would fit with the Tangerine Dream a little bit, so I shall have a look. I don't think I'm really going to be playing Test Department or Einstunder Neubauten, but Cabaret Voltaire I could get away with. So there's lots. I dig into my memory with this stuff. I'm a lot of the stuff that I'm playing on the music show, I was too young to appreciate at the time. So I'm kind of being 5 years old with the mind of a 57-year-old for this show, which is an interesting combination. So it's lots of material from the early 70s that I was five or six when it was happening, and I was way too young to even know it existed, really. When I was 5 and 6 years old, I was buying singles by The Sweet and Slade, and then later on Susie Quattro, that sort of stuff. The glam rock stuff that was in the top of the charts was the stuff that I was buying when I was 6 or 7 years old. And they're still reasonable records. The Sweet made some reasonable records, and they were a good live band, I think. Not that I saw them, but they were a good live band in their day. Slade sometimes turn up on a European, on a Christmas tour still. A few years ago, there's a nightclub at the end of my street, which used to be a venue for bands, and Slade have played in there on the last Christmas tour that they did, which is about 4 or 5 years ago. It was pre-pandemic anyway. I saw Hawkwind in there about 10 years ago, doing their 40th anniversary tour of Warriors on the Edge of Time, which is an album that came out in 1974, I think. So it would have been about 8 years ago. Anyway, enough of me rambling. One of the things that I was thinking about doing today was talking about prosperity a little bit. I've been playing with an affirmation this last week or so that I got from Robert A. Russell, and some material I can play about prosperity for 15 minutes or so, maybe. Let's see how this works. Just putting the prosperity idea to work.
Okay. A companion volume 2. You too can be prosperous by Robert A. Russell. Forward. This book is practical, not theoretical. It is intended for those who wish to go all the way in demonstrating the law. It is for those who are willing to take the ideas presented here on faith and put them to work in their lives. It is assumed that the reader will not only read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these statements, but that he will prove them by acting upon them with faith and confidence. Prosperity is an exact science, and to approach it in the right way is to succeed. To approach it in the wrong way is to fail. There is a sequence to be followed in demonstrating prosperity. Order is heaven's first law. We must put first things first. If we get the fundamentals right, the superstructure will be right. It is important at the beginning of a study of this kind to understand not only the ways in which supply moves, but our part in keeping it moving. In other words, to know how to keep the idea whirling on its axis once it has begun to revolve. Many people think that prosperity depends upon outer circumstance and conditions, a particular job, profession, position, or business. But that is not true. Prosperity is a state of consciousness, and anyone who has the conscience will demonstrate prosperity, no matter where he is. It is not the job or business that makes a man prosperous, but what he brings to it. The whole matter turns on consciousness. Without the consciousness of success and prosperity, the finest business produces very little. The law of giving and receiving, which is the law of prosperity, is infallible. The way to prove it is for you to specialize it for your good. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. No one who looks to God for a supply can fail to be prosperous. Faith without works is dead. So is knowledge without action. Live with this book until you have embodied the principles contained in it. You will know without question when the book has served its purpose for you by the changed conditions in your life. Robert A. Russell. Introduction. What you get out of this book will be determined by what you put into it, and whether you read it in the letter or in the spirit. The blessings of good that you are seeking is seeking you. It is right where you are, awaiting your recognition and acceptance. Yes, I know that you have tried to demonstrate health, success, prosperity, and freedom, and feel that you have failed. Perhaps you have tried to use the power instead of moving with it. You may have tried to personalize it with the human mind instead of letting it come to you through the Christ mind. Here is a fresh start. By the very act of listening to these words, you prove that you recognize your need. Along with that recognition, take two short verses from the New Testament into your consciousness and make them a part of your basic thinking. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. The treadmill of your thoughts probably run like this. Things are going down. Jobs are harder to get. We're facing another depression. Money is tight. Money is hard to get. The old gray mare ain't what she used to be. Why are you outlining? Why are you making evil patterns for yourself? Why are you speculating? Why are you trying to find a way to get the things which you already have? Why do you need a rope and a bucket for things that are yours merely for the acceptance? You recall the woman by the well of Sychar to whom Jesus offered living water, life eternal. She could not take it because the well was deep and because she had no comprehension of what he was talking about. She was more interested in the depth of the well and in the reason for his conversation. You remember that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. How did I know it was Jesus, she probably later said to her friends. I had never seen him before and it could have been a highwayman. Of course, she couldn't know him. She was more interested in the personality of the speaker than in his gift. She wanted to know if Jesus was greater than Abraham. She wanted to know how you could draw water without a bucket and a rope. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as well a water spring into everlasting life. Man often fails to realize his blessings because he is more interested in the process involved than in the gift itself. He must take in all the lectures, go to all the churches, get all the interpretations, and buy all the courses. He instinctively senses that the gift is there. But he thinks he must go around his thumb to get it. He does not realize that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. He must figure out how his supply will get to him and from whom it will come. He must outline. He must measure the depth of the well and know all about the differences in nationalities. Jesus said, all things are yours. But he is not offering you things that must be hammered out of steel, molded out of clay, or carved out of wood, or fashioned by human hands. He is offering you things that must be delivered in their own way. Your part is not to chisel them out of concrete, but to appropriate them through a new consciousness. It is the same consciousness that enabled the beggar at the temple gate to jump up and run. Chapter 1. Prosperity and the Absolute. I myself am good fortune. The most direct approach to prosperity is through the Absolute. We say direct approach because the absolute scientist makes no concession to lack or want in any form. He proves God and his consciousness to be one and includes himself within the whole. If it is true of God, it must be true in manifestation. This statement is the position of the absolute scientist. All his demonstrations are made from that standpoint. God is all in all. He is both desire and fulfillment, prayer and its answer, idea and its manifestation. There is but one mind. Your mind and my mind are in it and of it. Therefore, all visible manifestation are under the dominion of our mind. This is the highest form of practice. It is not a system or process, but a way of thinking. The principle of the absolutist is absolute oneness with God. He is our own consciousness. Closer is he than breathing, and near than hands and feet. When we glimpse this oneness, we shall stop trying to demonstrate money and start demonstrating the substance of our own consciousness. The absolute scientist, according to Vivian May Williams, works on the assumption that we cannot possess money until we perceive that the substance of our own form or identity is the same substance or wealth of which money is the identity. If you believe that you are spiritual and money is material, you separate yourself from it by accepting such a belief. But when you realize that money is a spiritual idea that stands in the same relationship to mind, God, as a rose does, it will be visibly expressed without anxious thought. Working in the absolute is an awakening rather than a process. Before you can work successfully, you must not only be able to disregard appearances, but you must learn to work with facts. The statement of St. John is very definite. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. To all appearances you are troubled and in want, but back of the appearance is the fact that you are rich. We talk of supply as outward the cause of such things as money, houses, automobiles, radios. These are not causes but effects. The real cause of material blessing is in the law of consciousness. Before one can individualize or use the law of consciousness, he must become aware of it. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek first an awareness of this law as your supply. When you have it, all these things shall be added unto you. There will be no limit to your supply because there is no limit to your consciousness. The only thing we ever suffer from is lack of awareness. The only things that limit us is a thought of limitation. If we are to get above limitation, we must live and think on a higher plane of consciousness. We must train ourselves to believe that nothing in the outer world can affect us or be a law unto us. The absolutist knows only the present tense, for the only time in the absolute is now. If God is, prosperity is. If God is in instant manifestation, prosperity is in instant manifestation. But we must become conscious or aware of the fact before it has any significance in our lives. What is it that you are seeking to demonstrate? Is it a job? Is it a car? A home? Is it health? Realize that you have no capacity to create or to engender anything. Your only capacity is to become aware or to accept. What you are seeking is seeking you. It is here now. It is already in manifestation. It is already established. Await its materialization with joyful expectation. Now is the accepted time. Chapter 2, Prosperity in Business. The motto for the successful businessman was given to us by St. Paul. Be not slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. It makes no difference whether our business is directing a bank, making a home, pounding a typewriter, clerking in the store, running a factory, driving a truck, supervising a department, or managing a sales crew. The secret of success in our activity is to bring it into conformity with the divine plan. Man used to scoff at this idea. You can't mix religion and business, they said. Business is business. You can't bring the Bible precepts into your accounting house or factory. But religion has come into business to stay. Men everywhere are finding that their greatest prosperity and their greatest joy in business come from the practice of the presence of God. The modern businessman is discovering that by the right use of spiritual law, he can make himself a magnet to attract all that is desirable. He does not go down with hard times and depression, but keeps his mind pointed toward the goal. Knowing that he is one with God, he knows that he cannot fail. The two kinds of businessmen set forth in our motto are the slothful, inactive man, and the God-centered or active man. The one serves self, the other serves the Lord. The one thinks down, the other thinks up. Let us get a clear picture of these two types. The slothful businessman sits idly by waiting for things to happen. He is satisfied with old methods, old ideas, old equipment, old associations, and old environment. He lives in the past and dreads change in any form. He is like water that is allowed to rest. You recall that it soon becomes stagnant. The God-centered man, on the other hand, not only thinks up, but is up and doing. He does not think of his business as his own, but as God's. He sees every line of activity in the business world as part of the one activity. He does not complain about competition, monopoly, overhead, scarcity, and contingencies, because he knows that the cycle of prosperity and depression are brought about by men's thoughts and expectations. Conditions never rise any higher than our thought standards. If we face toward failure and ruin, we cannot expect to be successful and prosperous. If we are always complaining, griping, and talking our business down, we produce a pattern that the mind will follow and materialize. The God-centered man will not only hold the right attitude toward his business, but will hustle to make his dream come true. I and my Father are one.
All right, this is very Christian language, but you can strip away the Christian language and it still makes sense. I tend to do it that way. I don't really do the Christian language side of things, but it makes sense to be not separate from the thing that you want. From Neville Goddard talks about starting with the end in mind and feeling a connection to the thing that you want. This is a slightly different way of saying it with more Bible references, but the principle's the same. It's not being separate from the thing that you're looking for. It's recognizing that you already have it, that you already are it. So it's becoming the thing. Becoming the thing is the way to manifest the thing, because you're just recognizing that it already exists and that it's not separate. I've used Neville Goddard's kind of ideas for quite a while, and I've had some success with them. So that's one of the reasons I set up the show in the first place. If you go back 2.5 years, a lot of the material I was putting out was this type of material. And I thought it's good to go back and review it with better equipment. I've got a better microphone, and I've got a reasonable mixing desk, so I can potentially do a better quality show now than I can when I was sat on the sofa with my phone when I first started doing this. So it makes sense to kind of revisit it in better quality and look at it from 2 years on. And it's taken me 2 years to get a new laptop and get this mixing desk sorted out. I didn't know it existed 2 years ago. Otherwise, it might have taken less time, but that's the way it is. You see the things that you need when you need them. And I didn't need a mixing desk 2 years ago. All I needed was a laptop. So that was my priority, because that's all I thought I needed to get things moving. And that is pretty much all I needed at the time. I bought the cheapest laptop that I could possibly find and brought it in through Alibaba from China. And it worked for a couple of years. And then I realized the limitations of it. The sound card was rubbish. So the sound quality of what I was doing could be improved. So then the next stage in that is replacing the laptop with something a bit more modern, which I did in the summer. And I acquired some money in the summer, which I spent on this mixing desk, the Rodecaster Pro 2, which is a nice piece of kit. It's very, very handy for the music show. It took me about a month of doing shows to work out the settings that made the most sense for the music show. So there's not very much processing on it. It's a digital processing gadget as well as a mixing desk, so I can add compression, and I've got a little bit of a noise gate on there as well. So if I've got the windows open and there's noise outside, it takes away the background noise a little bit. And it turns out that music, if you play it through Skype, sounds better with compression on it, which I didn't know until I was playing about with the settings on here, but I found something that sounds reasonable to me, and it's not the best quality in the world, but it's the best I can get for the moment, at least. No doubt in 2 years' time, I'll have replaced the laptop again, and potentially, well, the Rodecaster Pro 2 is probably going to have to last me 5 years because I paid a lot of money for it, so it's going to have to last me 5 years no matter what I do. But the laptop is probably 2.5 or 3 years, I reckon, for a laptop. And by then, so this one's Windows 11. The previous one was Windows 10. And I've still got it as a reserve, so it's the one I carry around because it's lighter. And I leave this set up in the kitchen pretty much untouched. Every time I touch anything, it messes up the settings and I have to start again. So I try not to touch anything, if at all possible, on the setup, because I've got it working the way that I want it to work. But anyway, the manifestation process was interesting because it took me understanding that the quality of what I was doing, the audio quality, could be improved without all that much effort on my part. So I made it a possibility, and then the tools kind of showed, the money showed up, and then the tools showed up because I'd set the intention. So the timing is what was puzzling me, because the Rodecaster Pro, the original Rodecaster Pro, I didn't even know existed. I only realized that Rodecaster Pro existed when the second one came out. Because that's what I started seeing on YouTube, is reviews of the Rodecaster Pro 2. And it's a really nice piece of kit, but it's quite expensive. It just takes it takes the technical aspects out, because they're all done in software digitally. And it takes the pressure off the laptop, because whatever processing needs to be done is done on a separate NIC machine. So it just makes the audio cleaner. So that's taken 2 years to manifest, 2.5 years, but it's got there. I've got a studio in the kitchen now, so I'm happy with it. And I've got to start manifesting the next stage now, which is, do I want to start setting other people up with this type of kit and training people to do podcasting and radio shows with what I've learned over the last couple of years. So I don't know whether I want to do that yet or not. I've started to meet people who want to set up podcasts. So there's some potential there for using whatever experience I've got, which I'm not claiming to be huge, but I've got some experience and I've tried a lot of things that didn't work. So I can save people a bit of time, if nothing else. That's a valuable service. So we'll see. If I meet another 5 or 6 people who want to start a podcast, then I'll put something together as a group coaching thing or as a group discussion thing in Newcastle and get that moving, and maybe charge people a tenner or 20 quid or whatever for a 3-hour group coaching session. I think that's reasonable. And I could potentially, there's a place not too far away from here that I could do something like that on a Saturday morning. That would cost me, I think it's £20 an hour. So it would be manageable with a group of 5 or 6 people. So that's something that's on the list of possibilities. There's lots of things on the list of possibilities. It's just how much energy I put into thinking about it and making it manifest. But it's always the principle of, it could happen online just as easily with less overhead for renting a room or whatever, but then it makes it less personal, I think, online. So we'll see anyway. I don't know exactly whether that's going to happen or not, but it's a possibility. Let's go back to Robert Russell for a little bit now. A little bit more of putting the prosperity idea to work.
Chapter 3, Prosperity and Business Attitudes. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In the past, man depended largely upon his hands and personal efforts to make his living. He worked out his finances very painfully and used subtle devices of cunning, grasping, and outwitting his neighbor. Today, practical religion has placed in man's hand a better and more fitting means of securing a livelihood. The old idea was that man should earn his living by the sweat and the brow, by struggle and hard labor. The Christ way is by indirection or laborless activity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or right-mindedness, said Jesus, and all these things shall be added unto you. This promise does not mean that man has no work to do on the physical plane, but means that he must do his work in the right spirit. If faith without works is dead, so is thought without action. Let us get on with the subject of mental attitude. What is a mental attitude? A mental attitude is the sum total of one's thoughts, beliefs, convictions, expectations, and feelings. The habitual attitude not only determines a man's character, but what he attracts from the outside world. We think of it as a magnet that attracts the people, opportunities, circumstances, and things that are in harmony with it. It is most important, therefore, that we develop the kind of mental attitude that will attract the things that we want. The psychiatrist concerns himself with many attitudes. The metaphysician concerns himself with only two, the positive and the negative. The positive attitude sees things in their relationship to God. The negative attitude sees things in their relation to self. The positive attitude expects and attracts the good and desirable things of life. The negative attitude expects and attracts the evil and undesirable things. Our mental attitudes are vitally important in the business of living and demonstrating because they interpret us to others. Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. If we go about with the mental attitude of defeat, fear, worry, frustration, confusion, others will tune in our adverse mental states and govern themselves toward us accordingly. They will be attracted or repelled by the prevailing mental state which we hold. Emerson said, "What you are screams so loud that I cannot hear what you say. What you are is what you are attracting from the world." Now, you think this is a lot of nonsense, don't you? Then make a careful study of any rich man you know, and see if his prevailing mental state is not one of opulence and plenty. It never dawns on him that he could ever be impoverished or poor. He builds the opposite idea into his mental attitude and is constantly supported by it. He lives with the expectation of prosperity. The positive man does not take his business to bed with him and worry half the night. He does not go to pieces over breakage, spoilage, and the mistake of the employee. He does not poison his brain with fear, anger, or temper. He knows that negative attitudes not only sap his vitality and defeat his purpose, but invite disaster. Begin this very moment to establish in your mental attitude those things which you wish to attract. Set up a new ideal of financial success and hold the creative thought that everything good is being attracted to you now. See it. Feel it. Demand it and accept it. I am prospered by the increasing, multiplying power of God's substance. Prosperity and compensation. The laborer is worthy of his hire. While we are on the subject of giving and receiving, it might be helpful to say a word about right compensation for spiritual work. Most people treat this matter casually when actually one of the basic rules for keeping the demonstration alive and for preserving the contract between cause and effect is involved. The law, as E.V. Ingram says, perpetuates and amplifies whatever it is allowed to act upon. Giving preserves this contact. It keeps your affairs in contact with creative power. The fruits of the law are contingent upon observance of the law. A consecrated minister, healer, or practitioner has no desire to capitalize on his ministry, but only to be supported while he gives generously of his knowledge and of his time. He knows, or should know, how to demonstrate his own supply. But there is another side to the law. That is the client's side. A true spiritual healer knows that the client can receive no benefits from metaphysical treatment until he fulfills his part of the law. If he is seeking healing and does not support the practitioner who labors for him, he will not be healed. The law of compensation was clearly stated by Jesus. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You must compensate your minister or practitioner, not because he demands it or expects it, but because compensation is an integral part of the process of receiving. This obligation exists not only for personal counseling and treatment, but for funerals, baptisms, weddings, and other ministrations as well. If you accept the time and service of anyone without making a fair and just return, you not only break the law, but you set up a debit against yourself in the ledger of life. You create a gap in consciousness, a sense of guilt, that will hinder any future demonstration of good. The reason Jesus laid so much stress on giving is that giving enlarges the capacity for receiving. If you wish to be healed and to stay healed, pay your practitioner according to the benefits you expect to receive. By compensating generously for any service, I establish a reciprocal action between the universe and my business and finances. Chapter 5, Prosperity and Confidence. In thee is my trust. When you go to a store and buy a piano, radio, washing machine, or groceries, and have them charged to your account, that is called credit, from the Latin word credo, or I believe. Your dealer lets you have the things you want because he has faith that you will pay your bill when it is due. Confidence comes from the Latin word confido, I trust. Faith and trust are the basis of all trade. Business is good or bad according to the confidence we have in one another. Some people, said Edward Beals in his booklet, The Law of Financial Success, seems to be of a naturally suspicious frame of mind, always of the opinion that someone else is trying to do them. Others are gullible and swallow everything, bait, hook, and line. Neither is the wisest frame of mind. It is much better to maintain the thought of goodwill, fellowship, and confidence towards one fellow man, weighing all things impartially from an unprejudiced standpoint, and then render your decision after due thought from the facts in the case. But by all means, have faith in your fellow man. Faith begets faith. If you have faith in your fellow man, he will have faith in you. In faith is faith reflected. Those who have studied dogs tell us that the canine gets our number at the first scent, that he knows whether we are friendly or fearful on first contact. He gets his information through the atmosphere or vibration which we emanate. It may not have occurred to you that there is a feeling and appraising sense in man that is akin to the smelling and appraising sense of dogs. Recall your own dealings, feelings, impulses, and impressions of others, and you will see that there is an even more subtle instinct in judging sense in man. We know that people fall in love at first sight, that some persons always wisely trust their first impression, that we attract some people and repel others. When we understand that our thinking and feeling create an atmosphere that reveals us to others, we shall be very careful to build into that atmosphere the faith, trust, and love necessary for our highest good. If we are weak, negative, and unbelieving, we surround ourselves with an atmosphere of failure that repels people. If we are strong, positive, and confident, we radiate an atmosphere of success that attracts people. The whole thing simmers down to this. The confidence others have in us depends upon the confidence we have in them. When we combine self-faith and faith in others, we are invincible. The only place in which Jesus could not do mighty works was in his own hometown. Why? Because of the unbelief, the lack of faith that prevailed there. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
All right, so that's Robert A. Russell. Putting the Prosperity Idea to Work is the name of the book. And there's another one that he wrote as well, which I've listened to a couple of times, which is You Too Can Be Prosperous. I've been working with an affirmation that's at the beginning of You Too Can Be Prosperous, which is I Am Prosperity, which I found to be a good affirmation, a good mantra to work with. It seems to help anyway. I don't know whether it's just changing my perception of the world, I think is what it's actually doing, by helping me to see prosperity rather than seeing lack. I think that's really what this does. It changes the filter that I've got in place from one of scarcity to one of prosperity to one of seeing opportunities and seeing potential for growth. So I like the ideas. I like the approach. Robert Russell wrote a lot of books, and they're all kind of similar ideas from slightly different perspectives usually. All of the New Thought authors quote each other's books endlessly, so you'll get the same ideas in slightly different forms from all of them. But I like Robert Russell and I like Neville Goddard particularly, even though there's a lot of reliance on scripture, which I tend not to really participate in. I'm much more interested in the ideas when they're not backed up by scripture, if I'm honest about it. But it is what it is, and at the time they were writing, they had to use biblical scripture to back up what they were saying. So we're almost at the end of the show, so I'll just remind everybody that Revolution Radio is listener supported. We've got a couple of studios plus the Hawk's Nest running. Studio 1 runs 24 hours a day. Studio B runs about 18 hours a day, thereabouts. And the Hawk's Nest is off and on. I'm doing my shows on there. There's a couple of other people doing shows on there. But it'll grow. There's plenty of opportunity there for people to do shows. If you want to do a show, contact the management at freedomslips.com. Just send somebody a message and they'll be in touch and have a chat with you. If you can find a time slot, the management are pretty supportive here, in my experience at least. So it's worth having a conversation if you've got an idea for a show, or even if you don't have an idea for a show, but you just want to do something. When I was invited, Karen, who was doing the 10 o'clock slot at the time, suggested that I speak to the management, and I didn't have an idea of what I was going to do at the time. I knew it would probably be based on philosophy, but I didn't know what it was going to be. So you can always book a slot a month in advance or something like that and work it out in that month and then in the first month that you're on air, because it'll change when you get on air. If you're anything like me, it'll change several times over the first couple of years. And there's nothing wrong with that either. It's all life changes. Consciousness changes. My level of consciousness, my ability to see things has shifted markedly in the last couple of years. So I'm doing the same type of show in a different way, or a different type of show in the same way, depending on how you look at it. But I've got the podcast set up as well. So if you listen to podcasts, you'll find me on any podcast platform. If you look for Free Association Radio Show Roundtable and Podcast, you should find me, or any combination of those words. There's a few that are called Free Association, so if you put Roundtable in there, then you're more likely to find me. And there's a channel on BitChute now, there's a channel on Rumble, there's a channel on Odyssey, all radio projects. And I'm set up with Patreon, which is radio projects as well. if you want to support me that way. And there's a community on Locals starting to grow now, so you can support me there as well if you want to. It's entirely up to you. But obviously the opportunity is there. And it helps to pay for equipment and for bandwidth and for whatever I decide I need to buy in the future. It's got to be produced from somewhere. So that's more or less it. I'm going to drop off now. The music should be jumping in any moment now. So I'll be back on Monday with another music show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, definitely music shows next week. Probably Thursday as well. The Friday show I'm thinking about dropping, because I've always got other things in my head and I'll lose my enthusiasm by Friday. So there might be a Friday show, depending on how I feel. But I'm not guaranteeing Fridays. I'll guarantee Monday to Wednesday, unless I'm at an activist meeting. I'll guarantee Thursday unless I'm at an activist meeting. But Fridays, I think I might drop. Anyway, that's pretty much it from me. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio.